This podcast is brought to you by the Endpoint Imperative, a podcast series from Intel that brings together IT experts and leaders to discuss the big tech challenges impacting businesses today. Download and subscribe to the Endpoint Imperative wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. If the stock market continues to post record close after record close through early January, some might use the often used phrase Santa Claus rally. Others may simply call the steep market run-up over the past 13 months the Trump rally. But is it fair to label the current rally after Donald Trump? Fisher Investments founder and chief investments officer Ken Fisher joins us to discuss what's really driving the market and how investors can strategically pick key sectors to invest their money. So, Ken, let's start with the market rally. Some would argue that the promise of corporate tax reform is the main source of fuel that is propelling this market. But is there more to it?
Basically, my view has been since the rally started, which is really February 2016, that this is a falling uncertainty rally. It's all about the political uncertainty in America, which was huge then, declining through post-inaugural period as we formed a government and came to realize that that government really couldn't do very much that some people hoped for and other people feared, and that the stabilization that comes from that realization is falling uncertainty. While meanwhile, the same thing's been going on, but with a time lag overseas, particularly in Europe, with so many elections this year, governments being formulated. They still don't have the government formed, for example, in Germany. It took longer to form a Dutch government than ever before. All of this has been a falling uncertainty global political rally, but it's not specifically about Mr. Trump. I think we would have had the exact, I don't want to say the exact same numbers, that would clearly be wrong, but we would have had a falling uncertainty rally had Ms. Clinton been elected, because she would have had to do much of the same thing, pick cabinet members, some don't get confirmed, particularly with the Republican Congress, then go back and pick more. Finally, she's got the team in place, then you see how they interact with Congress, what wins, what doesn't.
So you think the rally is a little bit more coincidental with Donald Trump being in office?
If you go back and you look at the 12 months after election, literally, for all of the presidents, this one has been one of the better ones, but it's far from the best. The best of all was Bill Clinton's second term. Nobody called out a Clinton rally.
In 96.
Nobody called Franklin Roosevelt in 1934 a Roosevelt rally. Nobody called Reagan a Reagan rally. And Reagan or Roosevelt rallies sound better poetically than does Trump rally. But be that as it may, nobody talked about the George Herbert Walker Bush rally, which was bigger than this one. The fact is, if it was really a Trump rally, U.S. should be doing better than foreign, whereas during this period, foreign's been doing better than the U.S. The same is true in a parallel sense about the tax cuts. If this was really all about the tax cuts and how great that was going to be, and some of the things you hear people say that I consider largely utter nonsense, like all the cash that's going to come back to America, theoretically, that should be bad for outside of America. And if that were the case, why has the non-U.S. market been doing better than the U.S. market?
So the House and Senate have agreed on a 21% corporate tax rate. So what you're saying is that you don't see that as having a significant impact going forward on the market?
Whenever you have something like that, you ask yourself a simple question. Have we had tax cuts and hikes in the past ever? And if so, how many, when, and what happened in the 3 and 12 months after that? In fact, whether it's corporate, personal, capital gains, you can measure them all up and you can't actually see a discernible bullish effect with any of them. What you can say about them is that when we've had these cuts before, what they've led to is a relatively tepid U.S. market compared to foreign. My argument is this period leads into a continuation of 2017 where foreign leads U.S. in a bull market, foreign-led, pulling U.S. along.
And people should not look at economic growth and use that to try to predict the market. That would be a mistake?
You're completely right, because the nature of capital markets is not about the linearity of real growth, but the nonlinearity of shifts in sentiment. And the shifts in sentiment are what drive markets. Markets pre-price the next 3 to 30 months. So if we're going to have growth out there a year and two into the future, the market's pricing it already.
Oh, so a leading indicator is how it's called.
Literally, if you look at the Conference Board's leading indicator series, not only in America, but all around the developed world, the stock market is always one of the 10 components, and it's one of the very best components, and it's always been a component because the stock market is a very good leading indicator.
Well, with the market so strong, where should Americans and where should investors put their money in terms of sectors? We're speaking with Ken Fisher, who is founder and chief investments officer of Fisher Investments, and you're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
You've heard it a million times. Location, location, location. Well, that's because location's important, and it's the reason this ad, targeted at you, isn't located before a podcast about the history of ice dancing. If you own a business, you know the importance of location, which is why you need a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, a real estate expert who can help you find the perfect location to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
Welcome back, everybody. So, Ken, a lot of people might look at the market and feel that it is overbought just because of this rally that has gone on since the early part of 2016. What sectors could people be looking at to make a smart investment in the stock market?
Let me say first, a correction can come at any time for any reason or no reason at all. All you need is a crazy story, sort of like someone yelling fire in a crowded movie theater. Doesn't mean the movie gets any less watched in the long term, but everybody might run out for a while. Secondarily, the normal course of a bull market, a la John Templeton's famous phraseology, was bull markets are born on pessimism, grow on skepticism, mature on optimism, and die on euphoria. Normally, the first third and the back third of a bull market together make up about 80% of the total return, and the middle is more tepid. We went through that tepid period leading up into 2016 and have started to accelerate. And that acceleration has also turned into the flip where instead of years before were U.S.-led foreign, foreign's now leading U.S. For a series of years, I think that continues. But the bull market should continue until we hit euphoria. And those worries about overbought, usually once you hit euphoria, people stop worrying. I mean, all the things you hear people talk about worrying about regularly right now, they won't worry. Is the PE too high? Is it overbought? Are there too many new highs? You can go on and on. They won't worry about those things then because in euphoria, people stop worrying. That's actually when they should worry.
So where are we on that spectrum?
So, A, I can't guarantee where we are, but we're someplace in the middle of optimism on the way to euphoria. So that leads you to the categories that have done well this year, like tech, which usually leads late into a bull market. Big pharma, drug companies, the big ones, not the little ones. Not the part of healthcare so much that's the labor-intensive part, but the pill pushers. Also, finance, particularly overseas, where the yield curve has been getting steeper, lending is increasing, the quantity of money is growing faster for the first time in this cycle, and you move to these foreign big banks like Santander and what have you.
And this really applies to any stretch of time where you're measuring a bull market moving into a bear market. This is almost like a carbon copy across the years.
Well, when you say moving into a bear market, moving into the euphoria phase
Okay. Before
the bear market.
Right, so we're not there yet.
And then the good part about that, of course, is that I would say, I mean, John Templeton used the phrase that I use, but I would say the bear markets are born on euphoria, drift on grinding economics, accelerate on recession, and die on panic. And the fact is, when you're in that drifting stage and the early phases of euphoria, if you recognize that a bear market's really coming, one of the great parts about these big stocks that I'm talking about is they're also the easiest ones to get out of. The other thing about right here, right now, is fundamentally, usually in this period of optimism before you get to euphoria, there's something that comes along like a window pane into a room where you can see euphoria coming for the first time. And it's usually about something that's a little bit strange. It's usually dramatic. That's what I think Bitcoin is right now. I don't want to get into the bubble or not. That's not the point. It's something where you can see euphoria coming along and what John Maynard Keynes referred to as animal spirits starting to percolate and people showing an evidence to want for the first time in this cycle to really go into the party mode. And you can see that with Bitcoin, and I think that's a sign of things to come where we finally will transition into that euphoria. But let me make one final point on this, if I may. If it took us 8 years to get to where this rally started to go up from 2009 into 2017, then we could have 3-4 more years of this bull market, could, I'm not saying will, before you finally hit the peak of euphoria, before you finally transition off into that bear market. This is likely to become, by a good shot, and I've said this for several years now, the longest bull market in history, simply because it's been long and the middle part was long and grinding with a lot of skepticism after that big, long, ugly bear market. After a big bear market, it's not unreasonable to expect a long, drawn-out bull market.
That is Fisher Investments founder and chief investments officer Ken Fisher joining us in our studio. Ken, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, JR.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm JR Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Is Alexa part of your life? Then make Your Money Matters part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.
Okay, we're all done. Thank you very much.